Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Don Shell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Live right now with Dr. Michelle, as you always are. Now my new time, Tuesdays, 12 p.m. So nice to have you guys during the lunch hour. Because, I mean, this is the time to just sort of, listen and chill out and feel better about yourself and learn some techniques, especially during this time. You know, we're all dealing with COVID. I just heard, from a friend in England. And he was sharing with me how their company is basically closed down, their production company, because of COVID. Nobody's shooting anything in a studio anymore. A lot of stuff's outdoors, but we're all masked up here, and anything in entertainment has been slowed down. So, you know, we're all dealing with this around the world, all of the countries. So this is a great time for unified, meditations and taking care of ourselves and wishing others the best. And, of course, you know, just sort of managing a lot of our stress. So today we're going to be talking about that, how to take care of yourself, you know, in terms of stress and to keep from going crazy, being cooped up. I know a lot of people here on the West Coast in beautiful Southern California are getting out and about. It is really hot along the coast here. It's been, like in the triple digits. You know, where I'm at, and of course, could be global warming, whatever, but we got to deal with that sometime, like right now. I do digress. But anyway, we all need to get out and about if we can, you know, if it's safe for us, and, you know, mask up if they're regulating that in any way, in particular governments. You know, they are locally, they're making us all mask up no matter where we go. Even in certain areas of Los Angeles, we have to walk around if we want to take a walk around the block with masks on, even though there may be some, you know, social distancing or no one on the street, we have to still be masked up. So we're all trying to take care of ourselves in some way. But there is that stress because many of us are feeling cooped up. There's some depression going on. We're just not leading our lives the way we used to. And, you know, at the end of February, here in California, everything shut down. So we're all dealing with that on some level. A couple of weeks ago, you know, Michelle Obama came out and said that there's this low-level depression that she's feeling around the country, and she's feeling it as well, and rightly so. This is what I'm hearing in my practice from a lot of people. It's because whenever we feel that we can't do what we're used to doing in our lives and we have no control, well, we have control. We can go out and, you know, get crazy if we want, but we don't want to get sick. So we have to take some kind of control measures to take good care of ourselves. So we're all feeling this kind of anxiety comes along as well with depression, but this low-level anxiety. So, I want to answer some of your questions on how to manage the stress, you know, going on in our lives, because they're tried and true stress busters. They're old school, what I'm going to tell you, but then I'm going to segue into sort of getting your mind into a good place. You know, using some of the techniques that I talk about and many of my guests talk about in terms of helping yourself through focus, learning how to relax, learning how to meditate. And I'm not talking about going into, you know, any kind of really difficult physical position of sitting up and forcing your mind to go om or anything like that. I'm just, you know, music is meditation. Basically, it's resting your mind from that frontal lobe, high beta craziness going on. Got to do this, got to do that, which we are all addicted to because that's how we function. It's called survival. There's nothing wrong with that. It's called old brain survival. But we also have the frontal lobe that's going crazy with those constant got to do thoughts or constant fears of what ifs. Oh, I've got to be ready. What if? I've got to manage this, that kind of thing. So, you know, this, as we call it, high beta activity is always going on to watch out for the danger, right? You know, so the danger in our lives right now is, you know, how are we going to take care of our families? How are we going to stay well? How are we going to, you know, get all the Lysol on the shelves? How are we going to keep away from people who may have COVID? How are we, you know, it's really, it really has, you know, a whole new set of priorities in our life right now. So we're not like the old brain, you know, running from the tiger. How are we going to protect our family and, you know, use our fight or flight mechanisms to run as fast as we can away or fight the enemy? A lot of times we're fighting for money, employment. We're being furloughed, laid off. It's scary. We're trying to take care of our families. So, you know, I'm going to give you some ideas as how to manage some of that stress going on for you. And I'm also going to answer some of your questions that have come up through my email, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Thanks, guys, so much, women, men, for writing out to me. I love it. It's great to hear from you. And I love your questions. So I'm going to, first of all, like I mentioned, talk about managing your stress today. I'm going to yak, basically. We're not having any live people come on, no guests today. I decided to just sort of get some downtime here so I can answer your questions. So along with helping you manage that, we're going to talk about some of the concepts that you guys brought up. Is what is this universal law of attraction? How do you define that? Is it hogwash? Is it real? What does that mean? And then I'm going to segue into more about the brain because, you know, and how the universal law of attraction works. I'm not going to be a quantum physicist today, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about what they've discovered about the brain and emotion and how we can create more of what we want in our lives by utilizing some of the principles of the law of attraction. But as they're more deeply explained by the heart-brain, you know, like coherence folks at the Heart-Brain Institute in Palo Alto, California, things like that. So we're gonna talk about making our lives better, basically. All right. So let's talk about some of those stress busters. So I've received a number of questions from a lot of folks who say, "Hey, Dr. Michelle, what's up with trying to deal with COVID-19, how can we keep ourselves a lot less stressed?" Okay, so let me just give you some tried and true stress busters of what we have to do. You've heard them all, but I'm going to elaborate a little bit more to just so you can really put these things into practice. It's really important to have, you know, schedules to do this. And I know you're dealing with remote work, you know, working remotely. If you are lucky enough to still have a job. Some people are going into a quite vacant office, maybe a couple of days a week. But whatever you're doing, you've got to keep up the routine, all right, and set that up. So stress really blows out the body clock all the time. So when you give yourself a definite schedule, okay, that sort of gives us some kind of a comfort, right? We have kids around us sometimes. We're dealing with kids still at home, being homeschooled or online courses. Everything's done remotely. So we have to manage that. We have to manage, like I said, our remote work or maybe going out a bit. We have to manage our, you know, chores. We have to do marketing and all that stuff. So getting into a routine is really important as best you can. I know it's boring, but we're all bored in this COVID thing. But if you set that routine every day, you're going to be doing things that where you feel more in control of your life. And I think that's the whole thing right now. We're all feeling out of control by this, the big boogeyman of coronavirus, and who's going to get it and who's going to survive. And who, so even if you can get up at a certain time every day, some of you who have kids don't have a choice. Some of you who are doing remote work don't have a choice, but give yourself a definite, allow yourself to chill out when you wake up. Don't jump up in the morning and run and get the caffeine and start, you know, get on your computer, check your emails and get on your phone or whatever device you use. Just kind of chill out slowly. You got to allow yourself to just take a little time in the morning and say, I'm going to let the day unfold as I usually do. I'm always one for waking up and doing like a 10-minute mental positive gratitude exercise. I don't care where you go. Just get away from folks in your house. If you have folks in your house, go on a patio, go on a balcony, go into a little special room. I don't care. Go into the bathroom. Close. You're asking me, how do I know this? I'm not going to tell you, but it really does work sometimes. Close the door and get a peaceful place. Go into your mind and breathe deeply and have gratitude for the things in your life that are wonderful. Thank you for the roof over my head, as small as they are. Do 10 minutes of gratitude. Thank you for the possibilities. Thank you for the laboratories working on the COVID-19 shot. Thank you for the food on my table. Thank you for my beautiful family. Whatever you can be grateful for, little bitty things. Even thank you for letting me wake up today. That's one of my favorites. Okay. So gratitude, set up a routine. After you do your little gratitude, take it easy. Take your time to unravel. Don't jump into your day. If you can avoid that, just get up a little earlier. All right? Of course, exercising regularly is so important. And I'm not talking about killing yourself. Of course, we can't go to the gym anymore. But even 3 times a week for 15 minutes, right, will cause your body to release some endorphins. So here's the deal. Exercise plus relaxing in the morning, doing gratitude for 10 minutes, but a short amount of exercise, walking around the block, gives the chance to clear your mind and enjoy the moment. If you don't have time to do it in the morning, and here, like I said, in Southern California, it's too darn hot, do it, you know, at dusk. Do it before dinner. Don't do it after you eat. Not a good thing. But, you know, get out of your house, take a walk. I wouldn't go to any noisy place, any crowded place. I know a lot of the streets here, people are walking, which is fine. Yeah. We can't go to the malls. Most of us, many of them are closed here. Get out on the sidewalks. Get out. I live up in hills where there's lots of trees and a lot of dirt roads. So I just go take a walk for 15 minutes, all right, when it's kind of dusk. That way you can put on some pleasant music. You don't have to listen to anything. You can do a walking meditation. You can just get away from all the noise and the craziness at the end of your day. But just get peaceful. 15 minutes of walking, they say 3 times a day, it will release a certain amount of endorphins. It's giving you some kind of circulation. It's allowing your heart to pump better. It's allowing your brain and body to get the heck out of your home or your environment where you're feeling trapped. Okay? So just plug in those headphones if you want to chill to your favorite music, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be chill music anyway. It could be hard rock. I was walking up the hill like last night listening to AC/DC, old school. Okay, Thunderstruck, baby, live. Come on. That is old school, and that really dates me. But anyway, so got to do that. Got to get some exercise. Don't have to kill yourself. Do a little weight training too. You know, there are some stores open where you can pick up those wrist weights or those 2-pound, 5-pound, 10-pound weights. Yeah, Walmart has them. Go get them. Costco has them. All these places like that have them. Okay, here we go. Online ordering too. Amazon has some really pretty decent weights where you can order. So here's the deal. Also, if you're getting emotionally charged about stuff going on in your work, people bothering you, being cooped up with a family, slow down your thinking, right? Okay, most of us overrespond. Our brains are on high beta. We have to take care of all this stuff right now. Every issue can be broken down into small parts. So you've got to slow your thinking down. You can even sit down and write down stuff or type little memos to yourself, notes, whatever. Text yourself, got to do this, got to do that, whatever it is. Every issue can be broken down into small parts. So what you got to do is figure out just a healthy way to handle what your problems are. Everything is one by one. Got to call back this person, straighten this out. I will talk later in the day to my partner about this issue. We're going to just be really loving and kind to each other, right? We've got to also distance ourselves from the problems, okay? We can go away, go outside, cool off, text ourselves a note, whatever we need to do. Just define what we need to kind of handle every day. Small bits. Yeah, if you're overwhelmed and you have a lot of tasks to do, break it down on items of importance first. If you have like a lot of tension in your environment too, you got to practice talking yourself out of your angry responses, your knee-jerk reactions, your lack of impulse control. Right? Mistakes will happen. Everybody's unreliable. Everybody, you know, rubs us the wrong way. A lot of people push our buttons. Whoever that is, you know who that is. Even our kids drive us up the wall sometimes. They do. But we have to really teach ourselves to chill out a little bit more, be more easygoing. Okay? And just remind yourself, whatever your problem is, whatever your button is being pushed, whatever your anger, you know, and frustration, it really is about frustration, you know, is about, it's not a matter of life or death, okay? Your health is much more important. So if you practice, you know, talking yourself out of, okay, chill out. Don't get your heart rate up. Don't get your blood pressure up. Why am I instantaneously always reacting with anger to this stuff? Chill the heck out. Nothing matters except for feeling well. And as I always say at the end of my shows, take care of yourself first, and then you'll be good for other people, right? So you've got to concentrate on the fact that nothing matters except chilling out and feeling well. When you escalate, you get freaked out at people, you want to blow up, you're internally pushing those feelings of anger or frustration down, you're going to blow up anyway somewhere. It's going to affect you emotionally somewhere. So you've got to know how to manage that, okay? So distancing yourself from the problem, exercising, waking up, doing some gratitude stuff. And I'll tell you a little bit more about why that's important, because you're building new neural patterns, which you're training yourself how to think better and happier. And that's what the law of attraction is about, which we're going to talk about as well. Okay? So you got to slow down your thinking. You got to do those whatever meditations or focus on just gratitude, like I said. And you've got to learn how to relax. Okay? It's kind of an art. Relax? What? You know? Sometimes, if you are mindful at the end of the day or during the day that you're uptight, think about your body. What I do sometimes is when I'm working and I'm hitting it really hard, I feel my shoulder muscles are really tight, or they're like high up in the air, or I'm like closing my fists, not because I'm mad. sometimes, but because I'm just like focusing on something, or I've got to do this task, or I've got to do that. And I find my muscles are tightening. Now, my muscles tighten, as many people's, in my shoulders, my neck, my upper arms, because I'm like, I just unconsciously tightening my muscles. And I find that this is why when we get massages, which we can't do right now, most of us, because the massage places are closed, that it really does help relax the tension. So what we have to do is be our own mental masseuse, you know. Or if you have a great partner or friend who does good masseuse, do that, who you feel safe with, wearing a mask. But the thing is we have to use that, you know, muscle relaxation tool of just like focusing and going, oh, darn, man, notice my body right now. I'm so uptight. I just got off the phone with this person at work and they drive me crazy. Or I just, you know, had to scold my child for doing something. And they're, I'm so, you know, nervous, or my muscles are so tight. Sit down or chill out on an easy chair somewhere. Take a moment and just breathe and relax your shoulders, relax your neck, let it go. Just see your muscles relaxing from the top of the back of your neck all the way down your shoulders and your arms. Let your lower back all the way down. Relax. Just pull, you know, just let yourself go and just breathe slowly. When a thought comes in, oh God, I forgot to call this person. Let it go and just focus on your body relaxing. Okay? Just an idea. If you do this a couple of times a day, it doesn't take but 5 minutes. To take some short breaks, you know, just breathe and chill out. All right. I know, easy to hear, easy to say, but you just have to practice this in your routine that I was stressing every day. If you are really kind of reactive to caffeine, I have people who I see in my practice and family members too, who can drink coffee at night and then they can just go to sleep. I'm so jealous. If you are really sensitive to caffeine and you get amped up, whatever, in the morning to get going with your day, cool, that's fine. But stop drinking caffeine at a certain time of the day, because some people, you know, are really sensitive and they drink just all day long and then they're amped up and they're having a hard time sleeping and then they get up early. It's a vicious cycle. You guys know about that. So make sure that you stop your caffeine intake by a certain time. My drop dead hour is 1 p.m. literally, because if I don't stop caffeine by 1 p.m., I'm rocking it until midnight. I'm very sensitive, or 1. And I don't want to be up, you know, writing the show at 1 a.m. or doing what I do, thinking about, you know, clients, how I'm going to sort of work with patients on their issues and that kind of thing. I want to chill and relax. I want those sleep cycles. I want those particular, you know, especially the delta and the REM cycle, so I can really get relaxation and replenish my cells and replenish my mind as well. So kick off the caffeine if you're really sensitive to it. By the way, chocolate, you know, any kind of sugar, things like that, alcohol can elevate, and even, you know, folks I talk to, you know, with some of the cannabis that's being produced right now, you know, it kicks them up. They're anxiety ridden. So stop that. Some of the cannabis can get you down to sleep for a couple hours, but then you have that rebound anxiety, which pops you up. So be careful and just experiment with that a little bit. If that helps you rest, you can still get the anxiety rebound from that as well. And, you know, don't forget, what can really help you out is you know, some of the vitamins that can help you relax, you know. So, you know, manage your B vitamins. Those will help you relax and help with stress. So, okay, I hope I helped you out with chilling out. And there's nothing we can do right now except take care of ourselves, do our errands, work remotely if we are lucky enough to have a job. Take care of whatever, if you're in any kind of public service job, mask up, glove up, take good care of yourself, stay distancing from people. No, this too shall pass. Everybody's saying, the world is going to change, like there's some doomed thing. Well, yeah, of course the world is going to change, because now we have a heads up about a pandemic in this day and age and what can happen. I hope it makes us all a little more loving. You know, I hope it makes us all a little more understanding of other people, compassionate of other people, compassionate of ourselves. And it's also teaching us to go within and think our thoughts, because we're not so stimulated, because we can't go out there and get crazy and social, you know? So, I mean, we've got to kind of go within and take care of ourselves and our families, our loved ones, our friends, the best we can. And so that's what we're learning here from COVID. And that's how we can manage the stress here, you know. So if you have any questions, you know, you can email me straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, and then we can figure this out together. And, you know, I can, you know, have you check out the rerun as well. So these are just common stress busters. Get yourself into a routine. And that leads me to the next thing about kind of working on your thoughts and your mind and how to take care of yourself during this time. And always, like I said, this is teaching us about things. So I have some questions here from people who ask me. Let me just pull back here. Alrighty. Can you talk more about the law of attraction and how that can help us in our lives, especially right now? What that means, okay. The universal law of attraction, been around for a couple of hundred years, the concept. But I think, you know, it came out in The Secret, that movie, a long time ago. You can still see it on Netflix if you want, anywhere, as a matter of fact. But it goes a little deeper than that, some of what's going on now in terms of explaining the physics of that. And I'll get into that too a little bit later. But so the whole law of attraction defined, here's the deal. Okay. Everything in our lives, okay? Everything in our lives. This is the concept of the universal concept of the law of attraction, of those around us. And ourselves, everything is affected by the law of attraction. So the way it goes, it's the basis of everything that comes into our experience, okay? It's an awareness and an understanding of how what we think is what we create, all right? So here's what Esther Hicks says, right? Jerry and Esther Hicks. Jerry passed away a couple of years ago. Esther Hicks is still giving lectures and writing books on the law of attraction. And Esther, she doesn't say she channels, but she taps into her higher self through an entity called Abraham. And so she just has these wonderful lectures. She's wonderful. She says, that which is like unto itself is drawn. When you say birds of a feather flock together, you're actually talking about the law of attraction. So we see the law of attraction evidenced in our society when we see the one who speaks most about illness has illness. Okay, when you see the one who speaks most about prosperity has prosperity. So as we begin to understand, or better stated, as we start to remember this powerful law of attraction, the evidence of it that surrounds us will be easily apparent. Okay, they say we'll begin to recognize the exact correlation between what we've been thinking about and what is actually coming into our experience. They say nothing merely shows up in our experience. We attract it. All of it, they say, no exceptions. All right, this is why I keep saying they say, because the jury's out with me a little bit on that. Yeah, what we think is what we create, and what we put out there emotionally when we're not very nice is what I think we're going to get back from the universe. But I think there's also an element that is not mentioned in here. They say everything you think about, it's what we feel about too. Okay? They say the law of attraction is responding to the thoughts that we hold at all times. So they say we're creating our own reality. Everything we experience, they say, is attracted to you because the law of attraction is responding to the thoughts you are offering. Again, to me, it's the thoughts and feelings that go with the thoughts. So whether we're remembering something from the past, observing something in our present, or imagining something about our future, the thought that we're focused on it in our powerful now has activated supposedly a vibration, right, within us. And the law of attraction is responding to it now. Now, those guys, women, conscious quantum physics, consciousness, they're saying this is all science. There's not, you know, like a ooh, airy-fairy kind of spiritually thing going on. It's all science. You know, there is the quantum field, right? And they called it the Matrix. That's what the movies were written about. Max Planck called it the Matrix. There is a higher universal power out there, all right? So what happens is we supposedly invite things into our experience through our attention to them. Again, what scientists have found out that it's about our feelings, because we're all energetic feeling beings. We are transmitters and we are receivers. All right. So to better understand the law of attraction, they say we see ourselves as a magnet attracting unto the essence of that which we are thinking and feeling. All right. So if you're feeling fat, you cannot attract thin. If you feel poor, you cannot attract prosperity, and on. So it defies the law. Okay. And they say the more we come to understand the power of the law of attraction, the more interest we will have in deliberately directing our thoughts, because what we think about, whether you want it or not, is what we're going to get. So without exception, the law of attraction, people say, that which we give thought to is that which we begin to invite into our experience. Okay? So when you see something you'd like to experience, we're supposed to see attention to it. We invite it into our experience. So when we see something we do not want to experience, and you shout, no, I do not want that, through our attention to it, guess what? We're still bringing it to us. When we badmouth someone and focus on someone we don't want in our lives, or someone who irritates us, it's going to happen more. We're not going to banish them. They're going to become more and more profound and bother us more. If we want to bring new people and loving people and kind people into our lives, we express that and we focus on the people who bring us joy and love. They're going to be really coming into our lives more and more. But if you're that person that's always being negative and saying things like, just my luck, you know, I got the creep guy, date people. Why am I always attracting these guys who are creeps? Well, it's because you're constantly focused on them. That's what the law of attraction says. You're constantly fearing what you're going to attract. When we constantly focus on what we fear we're going to attract, boom, there it is coming into our life. So how do we get rid of the fear? We do thought stopping. We say, stop, because I know I'm going to attract that into my life. Stop focusing on the worst case scenarios. I tell people all the time who are always into negative thinking, you're going to attract that. The more you perseverate on it, the more you fear, and the more you create drama with other people who are not great in your life, it's going to keep coming and rolling in, because that's all you're focused on. Focus on you and how you want to be. Focus on the people you like to be more around, who are loving, giving, nourishing. When you have a negative fear or thought, a worst case scenario, stop. Use thought stopping and say, whoa, I'm going to attract that into my life. I'm going to stop it, you know. So, you know, you got to really just allow the good thoughts to come to you, because according to the universal law of attraction, you're going to bring into anything you think about, whatever it is. Okay? Do you notice that when you have a theme or there's something going on in your life that you really want to attract, for instance, let's just say I have a friend, you know, who's thinking about moving to New York. She got a job offer, possibilities of, you know, the fact that she could transfer to New York. This was before COVID started happening. And she was really meditating on it. Part of her family's in New York. She had a place all set up where she could live. She would be making a lot more money. And so she started really thinking and visualizing. She'd already sort of gotten a partial offer, with this job. And all she thought about every day was, what would it be like? She thought about really good feelings and being with her family and the fun things. Maybe she'd live outside eventually of the city so she could be in the burbs. And she's single. She didn't have a family or someone she was dating seriously yet. So, but what happened was, all of a sudden, in her world, things started popping up. I mean, this is crazy stuff. She'd get these emails from people she hadn't heard from who live in New York. She started looking at, like, billboards. She started, things just started popping into her life. Like, oh, my God, I'm getting all these messages from the universe, as they say. Well, the law of attraction says, you kind of brought them to you because this is what you've been focusing on. And you've been putting emotion into it. The good feelings of, wow, walking down those streets like you used to, where you grew up. And, wow, being with the family. And, ah, this job seems so cool and this and that and this and that. Well, she ended up eventually taking the job. And she's doing all those things she was visualizing. She's having a safe, good time. She's gotten through it and sustained her job as well. She's working remotely, but anyway. All right. So there's just to answer your question, listeners, thank you so much for, reaching out, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, and asking about what that law of attraction thing is that I always talk about. And you can go on, and if you want to read more about it, you can check out the Universal Law of Attraction Defined. Pick up one of Esther Hicks' books on it. Esther and Jerry Hicks, those are great books. They'll always tell you. And there's so many authors who I've interviewed also who are positive, manifestors who believe in the law of attraction. Okay. So thank you so much, guys, for writing. Now we're going to move on. We're going to segue a little bit more about attracting the things you want in your life and creating and attaching emotion to it. And how important that emotion is. Much of the work that I have done coincides with a lot of, the books and the lectures provided to you by Dr. Joe Dispenza. I was lucky enough to interview him on my show a while back and, really got connected with his studies from the HeartMath Institute in Palo Alto about the heart-brain coherence and how important it is to bring the thought that you wish in your life and heart, the mind and heart and the feeling of what you'd like, that's when things are manifested. This is what they've done in, quantum consciousness work. So if, these are the things I've read, these are the things that I'm learning about more and more that I'm introducing to you guys because, so many listeners out there ask me, how can I change my icky life? How can I get out of this, relationship stuff that I keep dealing with? I keep attracting the wrong people. How can I better, get along with people? How can I love myself more? How can I get the things that I want? How can I be more prosperous, abundant? How can I attract a like being for a partner in my life, basically? So I have one person here who sort of epitomizes what I'm getting in terms of email. So it says, hey, Doc, you talk a lot about using the exercises of how we change our emotions so they'll become more positive. You say that when we have more positive emotions, according to the law of attraction and manifestation, that things in our lives will work out better for us. Can you explain more about this and how we can create the things we want in the future? So that's basically very similar to the question about the law of attraction. So let me just share with you some of the work that I have, read and practiced in with Dr. Joe Dispenza and some of those other, neural scientists who talk about mind, brain, Greg Braden is also a proponent of heart-brain coherence as well and the power of the emotion. So many people are. Burt Goldman talking about manifestation, visualizing. He's the American guru. I interviewed him years ago. It's all there in a lot of quantum consciousness work, just to name a few. So many people who get involved or embrace this work have the misunderstanding that we should not feel or express emotions. So here's the thing. Here's where the conflict with the law of attraction. I'm a human being. I have bad emotions. I'm going to think bad things about people. I'm going to say negative things about, I'm going to feel negative because I'm human. Well, of course you are. So I'm not saying, whoa, don't express your normal emotions as a human being. I'm not saying that. I'm saying be mindful of how you express your emotions and the continual feeling of negativity that you have. Be mindful. Okay. So I wanted to spend a little time to reframe this understanding. So at no point when we experience a sudden loss or shock or setback or trauma, I've never said to like suppress the corresponding emotions associated with those life events. Like I said, we're all human. Okay. What I have said is that the stronger the emotion we feel from our event or someone in the outer world, the more altered we feel from our more resting state of peacefulness that I was talking about earlier in Stress Busters when we discussed that. In other words, the more powerful the emotion we experience in our internal environment, the more we pay attention to what it is, you know, is causing in our external environment. Okay. So as a result of whatever we're experiencing, being upset or an event or an encounter, you know, being caused by external environment, it's so powerful that it captures all of our attention. So our brain takes a snapshot of that image or feeling, and it's called the long-term memory. Right. So when we have trauma or we're constantly dealing with buttons being pushed by certain people or situation, right, the memory becomes a holographic image. And that's like a neural architecture of the brain. Remember, I always say, you know, as the scientists say, thoughts that fire together wire together. They stay. So as an example, when someone experiences the sudden death of a family member, it's normal that a person will feel pain and sadness. We all do, or someone. So to move through or beyond that, they're going to have to pass through the different stages of grieving. So that's saying we've got to feel. We've got to have normal emotions. Okay? It's normal and natural. So I've never said again, don't experience those emotions. Okay? So when problems do arise, you know, this is when we get stuck in the tumble dryer of the grieving process. So what I mean by this is that instead of processing that grief, right, it requires us to pass through feeling necessary emotions, right? You know, Kubler-Ross says you have to have DABDA. That's the acronym when we pass through a grieving process, which is normal, right? Denial. Right, anger, bargaining, depression, and then eventually acceptance. You know, all right. We've got to pass through those processes and allow it. Right, but if we continue living within that restricted emotional box of the past experience and the horrible feelings and the sadness and then, what's happening is every time we continue to experience an event that was traumatic, it produces the same emotion to varying degrees. And the trigger of those emotions places us right back in the grieving box of the past. And I'm not saying deny something that's traumatic. Don't deny it. Try to get through that and know that as the farther we get out from that situation that passed, we have to allow it as a learning experience. We'll never get over, per se, the passing of someone. We'll always miss a person. We'll always love them. We'll always feel that. It's very strong. But what we have to do is we have to allow ourselves to get through the process. Getting a good therapist, psychologist, MFT, whatever, social worker, whoever is a great therapist for you, will help you move through those feelings, all right? And then you can move on. Because the continuous recycling of a negative event in your life, whether it's trauma of being verbally, physically, sexually abused, being with bullies in your school, being hurt by a romantic partner who cheated on you, having other people who press those buttons of traumas in the past, whatever it is, and then having to deal with things like right now, where we're all trapped with COVID, the continuous recycling of these events combined with related emotions of sadness and, oh, woe is me, and the verbalizations, right? You're anchoring yourself to the past in the present moment. So we could say that that emotion keeps terrorizing you on and on and on. So through the combination of a thought and a feeling, a memory and an emotion, or a stimulus and a response, our body becomes subconsciously programmed and conditioned. So all we need is a thought, a feeling, a memory, emotion, an image, a real life event, essentially a stimulus in the now that's going to trigger a response. We're all triggered right now to sometime in our lives being confined or controlled because of this COVID thing. We are all controlled. So if you have any control issues from the past, this COVID thing's going to knock you off because you've continued and you're conditioning that process all over again. Constantly, we're feeling controlled. So if you're aware of that, okay, then you can change. So what you can do is you can be aware of those conscious thoughts. I'm so angry. I feel so, why do I feel so trapped? Well, it's COVID. Why do I feel so more angry right now? Well, because I feel controlled. Why do I feel so bad and more depressed right now? It's not a great time to embrace all the negative in your life. It's a great time to teach your body and mind how to relax and say, wow, whew, we're all dealing with this. Wow, I have a lot of negativity from my past. And do what I suggested you do. Think more positive thoughts. Be aware of those negative thoughts. Be aware of how you speak, right? Get into gratitude every morning. Get into relaxing yourself and be aware of the tension in your body, right? And when you relax, you can write down even three thoughts, behaviors, and emotions you would like to change. I want to be less angry. I want to be less feeling trapped. I want to be less emotional. I want to be more positive. And practice those things every day, right? Exercise, having a routine, taking care of your stress, relaxing your body. Be human, but stop thinking or perseverating constantly on all the negative things that could happen in your life. Go back to what's going on now and how you can have happier thoughts, you can take care of yourself, and you can have more positive thoughts. Create your future. Visualize what you want in your future. And the more you do that and add a feeling to it, right? Go into nice music in the morning, visualize what you like, whatever it may be, a relationship, a better job, communicating better with people, whatever that is, whatever that may be, having a happier life at home, being healthier, see it in your mind, create it, relax your body, take care of yourself. And as I always say, if you take care of yourself first, you'll be great for other people. All right. It's about that time. We got to wrap up. So thanks, everybody, for writing me about questions dealing with how to manage COVID right now. If you're just tuning in, you can listen to the show right up here on the website, latalkradio.com, channel 1, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. I'll be back next Tuesday at 12 noon. We'll be talking to another fabulous guest. I have a great author helping out with how you can manifest more of what you want in your life. All right, guys, thanks for listening. And this is Dr. Michelle Cohen. Have a wonderful day. Take good care of yourselves first. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.